Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. You know, we've been up and down and up and down. Can we just get up again for a minute? God's really got my attention this morning. I've heard Ephesians 3:20 four times already this morning. And somebody sent me this, and Liz has just prayed it. Declare Ephesians 3:20 over my life.
I declare Ephesians 3:20 over my life.
God will do exceedingly.
Abundantly.
Above all that I ask or think.
Because I honour him,
his blessings will chase me down and overtake me. I will be in the right place at the right time. I've come with an entourage. I've got Sos and Kathy with me on the front row. Sos, some of you will know, has been with us a bit like Joe and Liz since our youth group days. And she's just like Liz. She just does everything as well. She's fantastic. And Kathy is a bit of a new addition to the church. She's been with us 9 months, nearly a year. Feels like she's always been with us. She's kind of just taken over everything, and everything you ask her to do, she can do. And she's just morphing into a Sos. So it's we're all blessed. It's fantastic. I just want to start with a little survey. Just hands up, how many of you would like a little bit more encouragement? Okay, most of you. What about the offer of help? How many of you would love it if people just offer you a little bit more help in your life? Yeah, okay. How about receiving a bit more grace when you make a mistake? Anybody up for a bit of that? Joe's putting two hands up. How about kindness? Would you like people to be kinder to you? Yeah, yeah, we think so, yeah. Who would like more money? Three hands. Well, if I was to tell you there's a way that you could have all of the above and more, and that this way is 100% guaranteed to work, would you be interested?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I might have got your attention. This morning, what I want to talk to you about is as certain as the sun coming up, and it's reliable as the moon orbiting the earth. It's not a theory, it's law. Nobody can outwit it, nobody can escape it, and it's as solid a principle as the reputation of God. I want to read to you from Galatians 6, 7 to 10. You can turn to it in your Bibles if you like, or on your devices. I think I've used the Voice translation. Make no mistake, God cannot be mocked. What you give is exactly what you get. What you sow, you harvest. Those who sow seeds into the flesh will only harvest destruction from their sinful nature. But those who sow seeds into the Spirit shall harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. May we never tire of doing what is good and right before our Lord, because in his season, we shall bring in a great harvest if we can just persist. So seize any opportunity that the Lord gives you to do good things and be a blessing to everyone, especially those within our faithful family, as in you guys, especially those in the church. This morning, we're going to look at the law of sowing and reaping, or giving and receiving, because what you do today, what you sow today, determines and has a massive impact on your tomorrow. So I just want to give us four principles this morning of sowing and reaping. And the first one is this, and most of you, if not all of you, will know it because it's quite a worldly thing as well. And it's this: we reap what we sow. I want to put the emphasis on the what. We reap exactly what we sow. I've just read, if we sow to the flesh, as Galatians 6:8 says, all we do is reap corruption. Corruption in the Greek means to shrivel, to wither, to rot, to spoil. And what this verse is telling us is that if we sow things to our flesh, the fleshly nature, the sinful part of us, and we allow the flesh to do whatever it likes, we just allow ourselves to feel good and do whatever we want, I'm telling you right now, you are going to reap some corruption. Eventually, what you are about will rot and will spoil. It will have a seriously negative effect on your life. The law of reaping and sowing is a bit like sin. Sin often looks really sexy. That's the way the devil makes it look. He thinks that he will make it look exciting for us. And we taste it and we think, yeah, that's good. But sin's a bit like a credit card. You can have it straight away, but you're going to pay for it later. Most of us have heard that phrase that all that glitters isn't gold. Don't chase the glitter of sin. Don't chase the glitter of sowing to that fleshly part of you, that natural part of you. I know sin looks attractive, but it will always cost you something. Satan, he's so clever, so clever. He sells us a lie, and he makes things look really good, but he never reveals the fine print. You only find out afterwards. But here's the flip side. If we sow to the Spirit, and by that I mean do things that build up our spiritual lives, things that make us more like Jesus, we get, we gain, we reap something that doesn't shrivel, doesn't wither, doesn't rot, doesn't spoil. We just reap good and positive implications that don't just affect us for the here and now. They affect us for the entirety of eternity. I want to read you a story. A Christian man was presented with a proposal from his non-Christian father-in-law. He was willing to put up money so that this younger man could go into business for himself. It sounded like a fantastic opportunity, so this Christian lad just plunges right in. It wasn't long before the money starts coming in, and he's actually becoming way more successful than he ever thought he could. But as a result, he was spending a lot less time at home with his wife and kids, and then he started missing church. His family didn't, but he started missing church. He was assuring everyone that asked him that he had everything under control and that he would be back as soon as everything kind of plateaued out and calmed down. But it wasn't long before he was working 7 days a week. He got himself a couple of brand new cars. He got himself an office in a good location. And he even hired an architect to remodel part of his home. It seemed that things were getting better and better, better than they'd ever been before, at least from a financial point of view. But his frequent absences from church were now constant. Several Christians who loved him cautioned him about not neglecting his family and his spiritual life, but all they ever got back was, "I'm fine. As soon as I get over this busy period, I'm just getting this business off the ground, I'll be back to church." But it didn't work out that way. In fact, in order to save money, he made his wife his secretary and a bookkeeper. That meant they then had to pay people to look after their children, and there were nobody connected to the family, so their children didn't have anybody good around them at home. The church leaders requested a meeting with this man and this woman, but they were always told there wasn't enough time for them to meet. So months went by. Several Christians were bold enough to go and visit them in the offices, but they just got the standard, "We're fine, we can't meet with you right now. We'll be back as soon as we can." Soon, though, there was no contact whatsoever between this family and their Christian friends. And months turned into years, and nobody heard from them. Naturally, people moved on with their lives. And then late one evening, the wife called the pastor of the church and told him that her husband was about to go to jail and could someone please go down to the police station and help him. When the pastor arrived, he was surprised to find that the wife wasn't there. Apparently, she'd called from somewhere else. And then the man shared his story. He'd started drinking when he found out his wife was having an affair. After an angry confrontation, he had stormed out, climbed into his car and sped off into the night. And at some point, he'd ran down and killed a pedestrian on the road. Sitting in that visitation room, the man poured out the rest of his story. The affair had been going on for almost a year. He'd lost his head when he found out, and now he was about to be charged with manslaughter. Could the minister help him? Could God help him? Would God help him? Could God get him out of this mess? Could God give him his wife and family back? Well, let me tell you, Generations Church, there's a law at work here, and that law is that you reap exactly what you sow. And this man sowed neglect of his wife, showed neglect of his children, and showed neglect of God. And what did he reap? He wound up with an extended jail sentence. His wife divorced him and moved in with a lover. His teenage kids rebelled. He filed for bankruptcy and lost his business. And eventually, because he couldn't make the payments on his half of the house, he lost that too. Here's the deal. If we sow to our flesh, if we sow things like greed and immorality and neglect and anger and drunkenness, that is exactly what we reap. Can this man repent of what he's done, turn back to God? Absolutely. Will doing that get him his wife and kids back and his business and his house? Possibly not. Why? Because there's a law at work, the law of sowing and reaping. And when you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If God doesn't step in and take away all of this guy's problems, can this guy blame God? Yeah. Absolutely, he can blame God. Who doesn't blame God when things like that happen? But is it right to blame God? No. God had nothing to do with his decisions and his choices. We'll come back to that guy in a while. But for now, let's just see what happens with this law when we sow to the Spirit and not into the flesh. In my life as a Christian, I would say at one time or another that I've probably sown everything that somebody can sow, apart from a house. I'd love to sow a house. Just haven't got that kind of money. But maybe one day, that will be good. I give my clothes away. I have seasons where the Holy Spirit will just tap on the door of my heart and say, you haven't given clothes away for a while. Why don't you get somebody to come around and look in your wardrobe? And you can tell them they can take whatever they want. Ouch. Sometimes I'll be somewhere else and someone will say, oh, you look fantastic in that. I love that jacket. And I can hear the Holy Spirit saying, take that jacket off and give them that jacket. And I'm like, no, not this one, Lord. But guess what? I've sown clothes and I've given clothes. Guess what I've reaped? Clothes. Because you reap exactly what you sow. I've sown perfume. I've been blessed with perfume. We're so blessed in our church. We've got a woman who works in Boots behind the Chanel counter, and I wear Chanel. How good is that? God's so good. Ali and I, he sends us love, by the way. We've sown holidays. Whenever we go to somewhere like Center Parks, we'll always get the house. We'll always go with another family or take four single people with us and just have eight of us in a house. And for the first 10 years of our kids' lives, we just couldn't bear the thought of going abroad. So we went to Centre Parks every year, and we always took people with us. Since we started The Rock in 2010, we've never been able to save or afford a family holiday. So we live by faith every year that God is going to bless us with a holiday. Guess what we got? Holidays. Hear my heart. I've not sown clothes. I've not sown holidays, I've not sown perfume, so I can get all that stuff back. Getting them back is an absolute bonus. I've sown them because it's good, it's right, it's godly. That's what he wants us to do. It's his will. We're called to be generous. We sow because it's the right thing to do. But the bonus of sowing is that you always reap exactly what you sow. We've never part exchanged a car, ever. We've always given our cars away, and it's always been tight, it's been hard. And we don't give them away ditched. We tax them, we MOT them, we valet them, we put a full tank of petrol in the car, and then we bless somebody else. Guess what we've reaped? Cars. And of course, we've sown cash. We give cash to people, we give cash to charities, and we especially give cash to our local house. And I can promise you, if you commit your tithe, which literally just means 10%, and your offerings to this house, I can promise you that God will bless you so much. You won't have enough room to contain it. And some of you might be sitting here, I'm doing that, but it doesn't look like there's much. And well, you just wait. I'm telling you, it's a law and you can't go wrong. Giving seriously pleases God. And let me just say this to you about the tithe as well, because it's easier for me to say than for Jo to say. And she hasn't put me up to this. We don't give God 10%. We return it. That 10% that God asks of us is not ours. Everything that we have been given comes from God, and that 10% is his. So when he says, I need my 10% back, you give that 10%. Otherwise, you're robbing him. And I need to encourage you that it's not just about the tithe. It's about the offering. And I actually have come to a place in my life where I'm not even convinced that God gives back when we just tithe. Because in Malachi 3:10, it talks about we're robbing God in tithes and offerings. And I think it's that offering. I think it's that over and above the 10%. That God honors. I could be wrong, but that's just becoming my experience. We've sown our time, we've sown our love, we've sown hospitality, the opening up of our home, and all we do is reap the same stuff. You know, we have some beautiful friendships in the church, and I know Joe does as well. And you know what? This is unusual. We know so many ministers that don't have any friends. We have so many ministers who don't trust one person in their church, don't hang out with them, don't want to do anything with them for fear that they might turn on them. But you reap what you sow. My brother was in the church with us a couple of weeks ago. He's a Baptist minister. He's suffering the effects of stage 4 cancer of the brain. And he came and he watched me work the room. And afterwards he said to me, Kate, it's really evident that you love your people and even more evident that they love you. And that's because we make an investment into people, build relationship with people, and you reap exactly what you sow. Whatever a man sows, not just money, anything you sow, you can expect a harvest from. Sadly, my brother went to be with the Lord 2 weeks ago. He's now reaping 100%. He's in the best possible place that he could be. Should he have gone at 50? Probably not. Definitely wasn't God's plan. but you still reap what you sow when you get into heaven. And you know, even as a family, we are reaping tributes about the legacy that guy has left. And it's just stunning for us as a family to keep reading all these things that are pouring in literally from all over the world. But don't forget the story. If you sow negativity, sadness, unfaithfulness, rejection, that's exactly what you're going to reap. But if you sow the good stuff, you reap the good stuff. Sow the bad stuff, you get bad stuff. Sow the good stuff, you get good stuff. It's really easy, isn't it? It's really easy. Just got to do it. And can I just say on this, I'm not saying any of this stuff to boast, because everything that we have comes from God. We're not rich. We earn pastor's wages. We've got two teenagers who we all know are money drainers. We've got one at uni and one on the way. We're not extravagant in our spending and we never buy what we can't afford. But we're blessed because we give, and especially because we give sacrificially. It always comes back, which brings me very nicely onto my second point. So to recap, we reap exactly what we sow. It just boomerangs back and returns a harvest with it. But when we reap, it's never the same amount. It's always more, because we serve the God of multiplication, not addition. So the second point is this: we reap more than we sow. Think about a seed. A single seed can grow a plant that produces hundreds and thousands of seeds. Think about the mustard seed in the Bible. It's the smallest seed that gets a mention. It's just a pinhead size. And yet that one mustard seed can produce one of the biggest bushes that you can see. A single bag of seeds can sow a whole field and produce hundreds of bags of new seed. So don't just think, I'm just going to give this little seed and I'm going to get a little seed back. When you sow a seed, you reap a harvest. Think of reaping a field. We reap more than we sow. Again, true in the positive, but also true in the negative. If you think back to the story I just told you, had that man known all the bad things that were going to happen to him because of his choices, maybe he'd have thought differently about making those choices in the first place. Going into business and working for yourself is not a sin, but you've got to maintain some balance. When you start neglecting people, when you start neglecting God, you know you're walking down a fine road. And we know from the Bible that God is the ultimate sower. He specializes in taking a little and turning it into a lot. We can read the story of the feeding of the 5,000. That wasn't just 5,000. That was 5,000 men. Then there was the wives and the family. And I don't think it was 2.4 as an average in those days. So the chances are that day, God fed over 10,000 people. And all he needed to use was one kid who was happy to give away just a couple of cobs and some fish. What, do you call them cobs in Louth? Buns, baps? Bread cake? What on earth's that? Bread roll, just a bread roll. Okay, that's a bit boring. I quite like cob. But there he was. He sowed his couple of bread rolls and his five fish. And they fed over 10,000 people. And they had 12 basketfuls of food left over. That's the law of sowing and reaping. Takeaway of this story is, if what we have we can put into God's hands, he will multiply it and use it to meet more than just our needs. And that's the beauty of being a Christian. It's not just about us. It's about impacting and affecting other people. But he always exceeds what we need, because he's a God of abundance. He's the Ephesians 3:20 God that we've heard about this morning. Then we've got the parable of the farmer scattering seed. Let me read to you from Matthew 13. Once there was a sower who scattered seeds. One day he walked in a field, scattering seeds as he went. Some seeds fell beside a road, and a flock of birds came and ate all the seeds up. So the sower scattered seeds in a field, one with shallow soil and strewn with rocks. But the seeds grew quickly among the rocks without rooting themselves in the shallow soil. Their roots got tangled in all the stones. The sun scorched the seeds and they died. And so the sower scattered seeds near a path. This path was covered with thorny vines, and the seeds fared no better there. The thorns choked them out and they died. And so finally, the sower scattered his seeds in a patch of good earth. At home in the good earth, the seeds grew and grew. And eventually, the seeds bore a harvest. 30, 60, or 100 times more than had been sown. Wow. Why? Because there's a law at work that you reap more than you sow. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. You remember I talked about all those foreign holidays that we reaped? Here's the most amazing thing. So those holidays that we sowed for 10 years were all in England. In the last 10 years where we've not been able to afford to sow holidays into people, we've reaped holidays every year, apart from last year, abroad. Or we've been given enough money to be able to go abroad. Can you hear what I'm saying? We sow a holiday in England, and God says, hang on a minute, 5-star all-inclusive for you guys. It's the law of more. You reap more than you sow. Remember the cars that I said we'd given away? I remember when I left work, I had to give my company car back, just had my first child, desperate for a car. And my dad came down the house and said, there's a check for £3,000. You get yourself a car next week. Thank you, Dad. That was a Saturday. Went to church on the Sunday, and this drama, I think it might have been Salt Mine, actually, this drama, people came and they did some amazing skits and people got saved, and it was amazing. They were brilliant. And then at the end, they said, we just need to put an appeal out there. Our minibus that helps to take us all over the country to see people get saved is dying, and we need to take up an offering for a new one. Oh, you know what's coming. And I'm there, and I can hear God saying, you've got a check for £3,000. What are you going to do with that? I'm like, I'm getting a car. Can't wait. I know what I want. And of course, you know, he plays on your mind, doesn't he? You know when you've heard from the Lord. And by the end of that weekend, my check had gone to that company. And you know what, though? Who knows? Who knows what that actually has done? How many people have got saved as a result of that check? Who knows? And so, you know, Dad, I'm giving that money away. Thankfully, Dad was a Christian, so he was all right about it. And then he just says, well, you know, my company car that your mum's had for 10 years, that I had for 10 years, well, you know, I need to get her a new car so you can have that. And I'm thinking, all right, great. Clapped out Peugeot 205 with two doors and I've got a kid. Okay, I said, thank you very much, Dad. That's really kind. I drove that car for 2 years. So, you know that law about you reap more than you sow? Didn't actually feel like it was prophetically coming about at that point in my life, but I'll come on to that a little bit later. 2 years ago, we were getting desperate for another car, and my nan died, bless her. And I always knew that she was going to leave us £10,000, which was such a blessing. And I'd always said to the kids, when nan dies, we're going to go to New York, we're going to have a great holiday, and we're going to have real great memories of her. And so my mum came around the house, and she said, there's your £10,000. And I was like, fantastic, you know, we need to get out of debt, and we need to pay for that holiday. And okay, might get a car for a couple of grand, probably not, but there you go. And then she said to me, and here's a check from me, out of your nan's estate for another £10,000 so you can get a car. Wow. It's the law that you sow, then you reap. And you reap more than you sow. All the cars that we've sown have been old, obviously. Not clapped out, but old. But we were able to get pretty much a brand new car. We've given out of our lack financially and reaped way more money than we've given. Remember the clothes that I periodically give away? Every year I go on holiday with my best friend, and my best friend's husband, who's a bit like a sugar daddy for me, will always put a white envelope in my hand every time we take a trip. And there's always about £250 in it, and it's literally, with one proviso, you can only spend it on clothes. The first law is that we reap what we sow. The second is that we reap more than we sow. And thirdly, we reap only if we sow. Everything starts as a seed. Even back in Genesis 1, it says, let the land have seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit with seed in it according to their varieties. We need to have a seed if we want to sow anything. If you have a seed and you don't plant it, guess what you're going to get? Nothing. You're going to get nothing because you have to plant something to get something. You only reap a harvest if you plant a seed. If you want a strawberry patch, you sow some strawberries. If you want to sow love, go out of your way to love. If you want to reap a financial harvest, give of your money. Our harvest is determined by what we plant and only if we plant. If we don't plant anything, how can we possibly expect to reap anything? Have you ever had a conversation with someone who is a bit mardy and said, oh, flip, you know, I keep sowing into things and never get anything back. And I'm thinking, you don't sow anything. It's no wonder you don't get anything back. You don't give anything away. You're tight. Of course, you don't say that to the face, but that's what you're thinking. You only reap a harvest if you bother to sow a seed. And sowing works positively and negatively. For instance, if we don't sow the seeds of a bad habit, you'll never have to deal with the difficulties that come. If I don't allow myself to brood over difficult times, I'm far less likely to get caught up in a spiral of depression. True? If I don't take that first drink, guess what? I'm never going to become an alcoholic. If I don't flirt with that guy, guess what? I'm never going to have an affair. It's so easy, this stuff. If I don't plant a bad seed, I am not going to get a bad harvest. So let's recap. We reap exactly what we sow. We reap more than we sow. We reap only if we sow. And finally, we reap later than we sow. It takes time to get a harvest. In the positive sense, we patiently sow those spiritual seeds and we're confident that it's all going to be worth it. And when we do that, we see the results in the here and now and sometimes beyond this life. But here's the problem. There's often a delay between us sowing our seed and the harvest coming back in, right? Fair enough? It doesn't pop up the same day. It's exactly the same with the farmer. A farmer doesn't plant his seed in the morning and expect to have a field to harvest by the evening. We don't reap straight away. So we have to be patient when we're waiting for the harvest. And often we have to do something with the seed that we've put in the ground. We water it, we pray over it, we speak about it, we confess something positive over it, we till the ground, we stay in faith, we speak words that are going to bring that seed to harvest. And sometimes as Christians, we act like spoilt kids. We think we put this seed in the ground and then it doesn't come and we just think, oh, I'm not doing that again. Ah, oh, no, this is not for me. Not into this anymore. Not into this giving lark because God hasn't done anything for me. In the story I shared with you earlier, the choices that that husband made at the start of his new business didn't actually look that harmful. He was really successful. He was making a lot of money. His business just blossomed, literally, for a couple of years. And of course, when we look at things like that from a Christian perspective, we think, well, God must have approved then because he's done really well. But 2 years later, the real harvest showed up, and it was a harvest of destruction. Why? Because we reap later than we sow. Remember that story of the $3,000 that I gave away and I got that clapped out car? Well, 2 years later, we sold our house. And when we bought our house, it was a boom time. When we bought our house for $99,000, 4 years later, we sold it for $275,000. So we had £175,000 worth of equity, which got us out of debt and got us the car that we'd always wanted. That $3,000 took 2 years to come to fruition, but it was so worth it. Why? Because you reap later than you sow. When we pioneered The Rock, we were literally spiritual gypsies for 7 years. We were renting rooms all over West Bridgeford. And in the natural, you just look and you think, when are we going to get a building of our own? Why have we got to set up and pack down every week, Lord? When does this all end? And then boom, we get a building. Hallelujah. Mortgage free. Why? Because you reap later than you sow. But here's the deal in the wait. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for at the right time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up and grow weary. Don't give up, Generations Church. If you've got seed in the ground, I'm telling you, till it. Speak over it, believe for it, confess that a positive harvest is coming your way. Whatever it is, whatever you've sown, remember, that's exactly what you're going to reap. The Bible clearly tells us to not grow weary in our seed planting. As Christians, our focus is on sowing to the Spirit, and sometimes the harvest takes a while to come back, but don't get disheartened, especially when you see the world seemingly doing really well. It's so annoying, isn't it? You look at the Joneses and you think, how come they've got all that, God? They don't even give. But remember the first part of Galatians, God will not be mocked. He will bring back to you what you have sown. And Paul reminds us not to give up, for at the proper time, we'll reap a harvest. Let me just quickly go back to the story of the guy and the business for a minute. So the pastor, he goes in to visit him. He's languishing in prison. He might have given his life back to God, but he's still reaping what he's sown. But listen, if he repents, he's still going to serve his sentence. If he repents, it's not guaranteed that his wife and children will come back to him. That's why Paul says, encourage yourself. Do not lose heart. Do not give up. Do not grow weary in doing good. Why? Because at the right time, that horrible season of reaping destruction will end. If you're in a season where you just think, I know I'm reaping the consequence of something that I did, I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you, it will end. And if you don't keep adding any negative seed to it and don't keep sowing to the fleshly nature, it will end. It has to, because it's a law. When we repent and do what's right and don't put any more seeds of flesh into the ground, eventually that bad reaping will end. The way I see it is we've got two choices. Not 1,000, not 100, not 10. We've got two. It's really simple. This is what God says. You can sow to your sinful nature, or you can sow to the spiritual nature. The sinful nature mocks God. The spiritual nature magnifies God. It's your choice. Mock, magnify. Mock, magnify. Which one do you want to choose today? Generations, I'm finishing. Sow good seed, and I can absolutely promise you that you can expect an unlimited harvest. If you can grasp this law, if you can fully take this on board and run with it in your life, I can personally guarantee that every area of your life that you sow into, you will reap something good and positive. If you sow into your finances, you will reap finances. If you sow into your physical life, you will reap a good physical life. You get yourself down the gym, you're going to get fit. It's really obvious stuff. If you sow into your life at home and all your relationships, all that's going to come is good. Everything. Every time you put a good seed in the ground, you're only going to receive an even greater harvest. Amen. Thank you for listening.